Okay, the next case is number 06-1103, In Re Mathias. Mr. Waddy.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have a 14-year-old daughter. Her favorite colors are pink and green. If she sits and watches a football game with me, she's probably going to say, Dad, why don't we color that scoreboard icon pink and green? It'd be real pretty. And if I filed that patent application, and it got all the way to the board like this case did, and we were trying to get those colors pink and green patented for that school board icon, the rejection of this case based on In Re Gluck would be certainly appropriate, because there's no relationship between pink and green in any football team or basketball team or school or sporting event that I know of. There's no relationship, but that emphasizes the clearly erroneous application of In Re Gluck in this case to my client's invention. Because my client's invention clearly states in the claims that the colors that are selected for those scoreboard icons are selected to match the colors of the teams that are participating in the broadcast sporting event. Now, these claims came in with several different groupings. The group one was rejected under 102 based on the American Gladiator reference. I wouldn't be appealing this case if this was a factual case. This is a legal question to present to you. And the legal question is the relationship between the color of the scoreboard icon and the broadcast sporting event so non-functional that it does not have any patentable consequence? And that's the whole purpose of this patent, this invention, is so that if a graduate of the United States Military Academy goes to a cocktail party on Saturday afternoon with his wife, and Army's playing Vanderbilt, and they both happen to have black and gold colors, or if a graduate of the University of Texas Law School goes to a cocktail party with his wife...
You've done some research, haven't you, Mr. Waddy?
Pardon?
You've done some research on this.
Yes, sir. And if that team is playing the University of Tennessee, whose colors are orange and white, and they both have UT on their name, and both of those games are on TV and they're being broadcast in different areas of the room, and the wives want the husbands to engage in conversation, so the noise level is turned down and you can't tell who has got the ball, who's scoring, who's driving. But if you can look at a colored icon on that screen and see that the orange team is Texas and the white team is Tennessee, or the black team are the cadets of the United States Military Academy, and the gold team is Vanderbilt University Commodores, you can carry on your conversation and you can see who's got the ball, who's scoring, who's driving, and what the score is and whether your team is ahead or not.
Well, how about Vassar?
Judge, I tried to find anything I could to see what Vassar's colors were or whether they'd never been on national television.
I'll tell you, they're rose and gray.
That's good.
So that would be all right. But you know, the question is not whether this is a good idea,
yes,
or a clever idea, or whether it would be interesting and useful. The question is whether, in view of the reference that the examiner found, it's patentable to your client.
Yes, ma'am.
And not available to anyone else.
That's right. And we think that the record, the ruling of the board, we believe was in our favor in that they said that the reference did not disclose everything claimed in the invention. Because it did not disclose that the colored scoreboard icon was imaged over the broadcast of a sporting event. That is the competition, sporting event. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to review any of those CDs, but the examiner pulled out from that American Gladiator reference. There was a contest. People were trying to stuff balls in holes and stuff like that, or climb a rock wall. And after all that was over, they'd either go to a break and they'd come back and they would talk to somebody that was a participant and say, Flame or Grace or whatever your name is, you had a great time there. And they would have a school board down below that would have colored icons, okay? That matched up with the uniforms of the two players. Now, that was not during the sporting event, the broadcast of the sporting event. That was during the broadcast of an interview after the sporting event was over. Okay? And the board agreed with that. If they hadn't, they wouldn't have needed to go to Glock. And so their ruling was that it didn't, they agreed with my argument that the sporting event did not have the color icon embraced over it. It was in the interview process afterwards. Now, how far away do you get before that? I mean, that could have been on SportsCenter. You could have had an image there. You could have had an interview. That could have been after the game was all over. It is not valuable, Your Honor, and it is not the same thing as broadcasting that color icon to be able to relate to the two teams that are playing as the activity is going on. If you watch the March Madness basketball, teams are up the court, down the court, back the court, scores changing all the time. If you like that and you want to watch that and see it in a circumstance where you can't listen to it, a lot of people go to sports bars to watch those things. There's no sound on. You're just watching what's going on. Well, if you've got an icon there that shows you who's got the ball, who's ahead, who's that sort of thing, you can keep up with what's going on without knowing, without having the announcers to tell you. Now, the board agreed with me that the Gladiators reference didn't show that. It didn't show that during the competition. It showed it in interviews at halftime, at intermissions, and after the games were over. That's not when the action's going on. That's not when it's important. That's not when it counts. Now, that's the 102 rejection of the Group 1 claims. There's no 103 rejection of the Group 1 claims. So if that rejection doesn't stand, then those Group 1 claims should be allowed. And the reason that doesn't stand is because the application of In Re Glock is inapposite in this case. The board realized that they didn't have a reference that did everything that my client claimed in the claims at issue. So it then looked at the language of In Re Glock, and it raised that issue at first with me as I'm standing here making this argument. It was not raised by the examiner below. I was not familiar with In Re Glock in that issue, so I was kind of flabbergasted, so to speak, to try to answer that. But in any event, I'm not flabbergasted now. I know how to answer that. And the answer is that where the Glock talks about non-functional descriptive language or in a claim, that's the furthest thing from this. This whole concept is the relationship between those colors and the colors of the teams that are playing. That's the purpose of all that. And that color coordination is the whole genesis of the concept of the invention. It's simple. It's amazingly simple. It's stupidly simple in some respects. But it's different. It has a purpose. It has a valuable purpose. And it certainly is not non-functional. It's total function. It's to identify, if the example I gave where you've got Army playing Vanderbilt, both school teams have the colors of black and gold. One's wearing black and one's wearing gold. But if there's no announcement going on, you're in a circumstance where you can't hear, you can look at that icon and say, Army's black, they've got the ball, they're driving, they're ahead, 48-7. So, but you don't know that otherwise if it's just up there without color. All right? And so while it is simple, it's just so simple that I think I fought, I got 6 rejections, 4 on different sets of prior art. Every time we'd argue the examiner out of one, he'd go find another. He finally issued an advisory opinion that said, I just don't believe it's patentable, but I don't have anything. And he went and searched and found the American Gladiator. We had 2 final rejections. So I'm convinced that this just has not gained traction at any level, including the board, because they thought it was too simple. But that's not one of the statutory bars to patent it. Our invention, my client's invention, is new, useful, and unobvious. It is not described by the prior literature. this reference doesn't disclose a color school board icon impressed over the sporting event. The board admitted that. That's why they went to Gluck. That's why they contended it's non-functional. And Your Honor, that's your prerogative. You are the keepers of what the law is and what it means and applying that law. That's de novo, your argument. And you've got to look at that and say, that's clearly erroneous. That is clearly wrong. It doesn't even have to go to that standard, but it's clearly erroneous because the colors relate directly to what's underneath and what's being shown and the purpose and function of that. So that's why that is very important. Now, in going to the, I want to address quite briefly the question of Section 103, which was applied to another group of claims. I want to make sure we keep this separate. The additional groups of claims where they talk about the application of Section 103 as it being obvious from the American Gladiator reference to do some additional things, those are claims that are directed to how the particular outlines on the school board icon, how the colors were arranged in particular cases. And the examiner might say that if you could get past the first issue, he might be able to say that that's a matter of design choice. Okay, I wouldn't be here fighting that issue, but he doesn't have a reference that says what we're doing, and it's not obvious from what we're doing. Now, let me just quickly, why is it not obvious? Normally, when we're looking at 103 issues, we're saying, okay, we're looking for this hypothetical person of ordinary skill in the art who all of a sudden shows up in phantom lines and he's got these two patents before him, with his one patent and one other reference. He looks at him and says, oh, I think from that I'll do what's claimed. We don't have need to look for a hypothetical person of ordinary skill in the art in this case. We've got real people skilled in the art. This was broadcast. This broadcast of the American Gladiators was from 1991 until 1996. During that time, it was being broadcast over Fox Network. Saving my time. The same time Fox Network was broadcasting baseball games and football games using black and white icons appear. The same people that were broadcasting both had both pieces of art right in front of them. They were doing both of them. They were doing the American Gladiator, they were doing the baseball games with the icons in there. That person of ordinary skill in the art had it right in front of him. It never occurred to him to do this. Now, normally I would never make an argument that just because it hadn't been done means that it's unobvious, because that doesn't make a lot of sense. But here, that's a good argument, because the very people that had both these pieces of art that we've been referring to, the admitted prior art and the American Gladiator, they had those right in front of them. They were part of their ongoing business every day in the biggest copycat industry in the world. And they didn't put it together. And now you see it on television, and you know why you see it on television now? Because my client has contacted them and says, I have a patent application pending. This is what it does, and we'd like to see you do it. Well, since we don't have a patent issued yet, they're using it. When our patent issues, we will go deal with them. But that's the first time it got on television, and after my client went to it. Any questions?
Okay, why don't you save the rest of your time for rebuttal, and let's hear from the office.
Thank you so much for your attention.
All right, Mr. Waddy. Mr. Stoll.
May it please the court. The main point that appellant has missed is that the cases require that there be a new and unobvious functional relationship. If you read both Nagai and Gulak, you'll see that. That's the critical question that's got to be asked. And here, indeed, American Gladiators discloses the functionality that Mr. Mathias had hoped to patent. As you'll see at 1016, the icon displayed is color-coded, in fact, to match the colors of the contestants. The background for the one contestant's name and score is highlighted in red, and the other contestant's name and scores is highlighted in blue, and the contestants are wearing blue and red uniforms. So as to the appellant's suggestion that there's no relationship, I think the record's clear that the relationship that's required to determine whether or not a limitation, the sporting limitation, is entitled to patentable weight. That functionality is in the prior art, and this limitation is not entitled to patentable weight, as the board correctly found. argued issues involving the 103 obviousness rejection. None of those arguments appear in his initial brief, and he's waived any argument as to those issued under this court's precedent, Smith, Klein, and I'd refer to our brief at page 17 where we present that issue. Appellant makes an argument about the board having found that the claims are not anticipated by American Gladiators. That's incorrect. The board, indeed, if you look at pages 5, 6, and 7 of the appendix, you'll see the board made an explicit finding that the claim, in fact, was anticipated by American Gladiators, that all the limitations it took as given, that all the limitations were taught with the exception of potentially one sporting it. Dropped a footnote suggesting that there's a strong likelihood that indeed American Gladiators isn't a sporting event, but taking Mr. Mathias's argument that at certain times it becomes something other than a sporting event during interviews of the contestants, nonetheless, this court's decision in Guy supports a finding of anticipation because that term sporting is not entitled to any patentable weight, given the lack of functionality, the fact that the functionality is already taught by American Gladiators.
Just as a factual matter, which I was left a little bit unclear on, and perhaps both of you can clarify this, if I recall, Mr. Wadi was saying, in effect, that the American Gladiators displayed the colors-coded scores and so forth only during the interviews, but I think I understood, and perhaps I didn't, and either he or you can correct me, but page A1016 seems to show the colored scores what looks like it's in the midst of a competition.
Well, Your Honor, just for clarity's
sake. Is that right, or am I misunderstanding either the argument or the evidence?
Well, I think the evidence, what is going on in this scene is the competition, as there are several events. Okay, this is a broadcast of the American Gladiators program. It's comprised of, let's say, 8 events.
Right.
And one of the events is scaling a wall.
Right.
Seeing who can get to the top.
Okay.
In this depiction, what you see here, I believe, is after the competition as to that event is over, still during the broadcast of this television program, but after the event's concluded, this competitor is climbing back down the wall.
Oh, I see. This is not the competition itself. This is the aftermath.
Yes.
Then the competitor's getting down and they're showing the score at the end of this particular portion of the competition.
That's correct.
There will be further portions of the competition?
That's correct.
So it'd be like showing the score of a basketball game during a timeout.
Yes, that's
or
exactly
during
right.
a stoppage of play when the ball is being taken out by one side.
Right, that's exactly what we say in our brief, like in a football game where there's a huddle or something like that. But the broadcast image, the event is still ongoing.
All right, that was unclear to me from the evidence, but you clarified it. Thank you.
We'd also argue that the suggestion that there needs to be activity, putting aside the issue of the sporting event, whether or not it's entitled to patentable weight, as the board correctly found, the appellant's new argument about the activity, that there's no activity going on, is not required by the claim. What the claim limitation calls for is a broadcast image of a sporting event. So unless there are any other questions.
What's your response to Mr. Wadi's argument that in retrospect this may appear simple, but that the American Gladiators, although they were using a color code as we've just discussed, did not expand upon it. As soon as this was brought to the attention, apparently, of others, the potential value was recognized, and that simplicity itself is not a basis for rejection.
Well, as to the new argument that...
Never mind whether it's a new argument, just what's the position?
As to the commercial benefits, none of that evidence is in record, and I would submit that it's improper for us to address that here for the first time on appeal, and that appellants waived that argument. With regard to the simplicity, this is the board's decision didn't dismiss the invention. What it did is it actually treated each claim limitation as a whole to address whether or not it was found in the prior art, and it found that, first, all the limitations were clearly in the prior art, with the exception possibly of the sporting aspect of the non-functional descriptive term sporting event. So I would submit to you that the board did not discount this invention because it was simplistic. Rather, they found it was already taught by the prior art instead.
Already taught by? Are you discussing obviousness or are you discussing anticipation?
Anticipation, Your Honor. It was all the limitations.
But you've already told us that there was one limitation that wasn't in the prior art. How can it be anticipated?
Well, under Nagai, a similar case where the one limitation was found to be non-functional descriptive matter, it is given no patentable weight. It's not as if the board didn't treat that limitation and struck it out and discounted it. Rather, they construed every single limitation and those that had patentable weight, which was every single limitation with the exception of the term sporting, was found in the prior art. And the color coding function that Mathias really seeks to patent indeed is found in it.
Did I miss it? You said that the office presented no rejection, but there was a rejection under 103.
What my response to Mr. Wadi's argument is that he never raised any aspect of the 103 rejections other than to say that as to all the rejections in dispute, taking claim one representative, the only challenge he made to the board's decision pertained to this issue of whether or not sporting was properly met by the American Gladiators reference. There was no arguments as to motivation or any other form of obviousness. So the whole case collapsed down to the issue of whether or not the sporting limitation was properly met by the American Gladiators reference.
So the board is not otherwise supporting its rejection under 103A?
Well, I'm sorry, Your Honor, if that's your impression, I clearly misspoke. No, indeed, we'd argue that the appellant has only challenged any of the rejections, the 102 rejections and the 103 rejections, by attacking this sporting limitation as it's found in each one of the independent claims. And the representative claim one is the claim that he chose to take this fight and dispute over, and that was an anticipated claim. And so for purposes of this appeal, we're limiting our analysis to whether or not American Gladiators teaches that limitation.
So you're saying that if we should agree with Mr. Wadi on this particular point, then it's appropriate to reverse the board's decision?
Well, let me clarify one aspect of that. Mr. Wadi is incorrect that the board concluded that the examiner was wrong, that this sporting limitation was not taught by American Gladiators. Indeed, the examiner found that American Gladiators was a sporting event, and if I can direct your attention to appellant's brief before the board at 1027, appellant admitted that American Gladiators is a sporting event, and as Judge Bryson pointed out, it doesn't make sense to say that this is a broadcast image of a sporting event at one moment, and then not during a break in the action, such as when the players are, or there's a timeout while the players are still on the court. And if you look at the footnote 3, and I believe it's on A5, you'll see that the board suggested that there's a strong likelihood that indeed this was a sporting event at all times and that the examiner was correct. But what it did is the board decided it didn't even need to reach that issue. It could affirm based solely on reliance on Nye and Gulak. So if there's nothing further, I'll yield the rest of my time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stoll. Mr. Wadi?
I think the answer to your question is yes, Your Honor. If the board did not reject Group 1 claims, which is represented by Claim 1, on anything other than 102, if you agree with me on the interpretation of N. Ray Glock and its application in this case, then you must reverse with respect to those claims.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us?
Yes, I do want to tell you that I did contest the argument on 103, which is the second group of claims, in my brief. It was very brief because the board said, in our view, it is our view that Mathias, which is this other patent reference that they cited in the 103 rejection added to the American Gladiator, is merely cumulative. Mathias is not necessary for a proper rejection of 103 of that Group 2 claims. The American Gladiator discloses all that is claimed. Well, so my argument was that 103 rejection, based on the board's decision and the way it was written, my only obligation is to challenge that. I don't need to challenge that combination of Mathia or Mantha, which they said was not involved in their rejection anyway. So thank you very much. I appreciate your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Waddy and Mr. Stoll. The case is taken under submission.